Welcome to the Venus Index Podcast. I'm John Barbin, and with me is Felicity McDevitt. She won first place in our transformation contest. And Felicity, you look great, and we might as well just get going here. I've got a kind of a list of questions that we're going to go through, and it'll just sort of guide our conversation. So I guess, first of all, people are going to want to know, I want to know what your history of diet and working out, like what have you been doing in the past? Like, are you experienced with the concept of training and dieting, or just give us your history, I guess, leading up to when you got to Venus.
Oh, everything, basically. I have tried and read about and experimented with all kinds of stuff for probably about at least 20 years.
Okay. How old are you, by the way?
I'm 23.
Right. So you've been training since you were three, okay.
I'm 37.
Okay.
And so I've always been athletic in school and been on sports teams, and I'm 5'9", and I got it in my head early that, you know, even from coaches in volleyball and in gymnastics, of course, I was the vaulter, was not the more delicate individual, but I got it in my head that I'm just a big person. And it turns out, you know, I'm not that. It's not really the case.
You're not that big.
I'm not, but yeah. I even worked, let's see, I've everything you can, you know, all the books. I've done Atkins, I've done Fit for Life. I trained as a sailor, lifting weights. Yeah, not Navy sailor, but just recreational sailor. So there's a lot of lifting there, and I've been strong many times in my life, but not not slim, not slender.
And so that was that always the goal when you were training to try to slim down?
No, for sailing, I wanted the strength. I always wanted, I also had a car accident in 2000, which led to back surgery. So I was, focused on getting my core strong. So I Pilates classes did, I just can't do yoga. My mind just makes me want to chew my own arm off to have something to beat the instructor with. It's just torture.
Well, if it's not for you, it's not for you.
But I tried it and tried it because I liked the look of a yoga body. It just didn't work. I needed something to,
So you, and so you, it sounds like you always gravitated towards, or at least sort of always found yourself doing strength training from one form or another.
I like it. Yeah. And it's a good head clearing sort of thing for me. I didn't ever have the diet to go together with it. And I was kind of doing a hit or miss, you know, I would get guides out of Fit for Life or different training things. And I would always end up with huge crunches and oblique work, you know, trying to make sure I was supporting my back. Because I'm also a nurse, and we're notorious for having back injuries.
Really? See, I didn't know that.
Didn't know that I was a nurse, or that we
had back both injuries. That you're notorious for back injuries.
Well, yeah, we end up moving people without much help. And we can't wait because there's stuff to do. So we end up.
So you're in the position to do a lot of incorrect lifting then, quite heavy if you're lifting people.
Yeah. I'm not in that exact position anymore, but I was focusing on get those abs tight and protect that back. And so I, you know, really bulked up I shouldn't say bulked up. I did not have an hourglass shape, put it that way.
Right, gotcha.
And so I figured that's just the way it goes. That's just the way I'm built. I'm fine. I worked with a nutritionist in Seattle even. With the goal of increasing functional strength and losing weight specifically.
Whoa, back up. A nutritionist, what does a nutritionist know about functional strength? Or they also were a trainer?
Well, they're not. She was a nutritionist for a sports team. And
right.
Maybe nothing because it didn't work very well.
Oh, okay.
I was doing my own training issue and she was helping me with the nutrition part.
Right. How'd that go?
Well, if I'm given the rules, I will follow them. And so she gave me the rules, and I followed them. I wrote down my calories. I tracked everything like a good girl. And But the problem was my caloric goal was 2,100.
She set you for what? For losing or maintenance or
yeah.
what?
Yeah, my goal was to lose, I thought I had about 20 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, knowing what I know now, I could have gone lower. But yeah, I came with the goal of I would like to drop 20 pounds and I want to keep my workout regimen. I was doing kickboxing and weight training at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just on top of it with the caloric thing. I was looking up all my calories. I was entering it in a little program online. But obviously.
Well, okay. So then how did that go? Like, did you lose anything with that? Or
No. I firmed up and I felt good. But I was so frustrated because I was doing everything right, right? And other people that had worked with her before were losing weight and were not as active as I was. And
so did you think you were in, like, starvation mode or something was wrong? Or did you not even know about that?
Well, you hear about that all the time. Goodness.
Right.
I've done the, you know, 5 meals a day, set the timer, pack your bag till it felt like I had a part-time job. And again, I could get strong. I felt good. I was sleeping well, that sort of thing.
Right.
But I could not lose any weight.
It's almost like she had you perfectly set up for maintenance.
Maintenance.
When you were ready to be in maintenance, which again is a trick. A lot of people, maintenance is a trick. So it's almost like you learn that part, but it's like she left out the how to lose first
yeah.
part.
Yeah. And I would have, had I known it was so easy, good Lord. I shouldn't say easy. I should say simple. It is
right.
simple.
Yeah.
And
yeah, the concept is simple. The actual doing it is quite challenging.
Well, I found it to be a relief. Like somebody finally told me the answer. I've been saying, oh, well, I guess it's just not for me. You know, I'll always be just out of reach of what I'm comfortable with. And, you know, and then you get into frumpy mode, which is no help for anyone.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So,
well, and then you get a little down on yourself. You actually think you're broken or something.
Exactly. So there's, and then you're like, okay, I know that I don't get results when I work so hard, and I'm good at working at this, and I can't work it any harder. So what the hell? Let's have some key lime pie.
You know what? That's interesting you said it that way, because I would have never – that's the first time anyone's articulated it quite that way, that if you try and follow it to a T, but you're following the wrong instructions and you fail –
yeah.
Why try again?
Exactly.
I totally get that. I totally see how ridiculous. Yeah, I could see how that would sour people to the concept ever.
And that it's so much effort. I had some success with Body for Life, but again, it felt like a part-time job.
Right.
And I was writing everything down to make sure that I wasn't slipping up on things. I had a timer going for make sure I wasn't missing meals. You know, everybody, we get busy at work, and, you know, I just was foolproofing it for myself, and I didn't.
Like directing your future self, yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, okay, then I guess we're going to stray a little bit from our little pattern here, but what did you, okay, so contrast that to what you did for Venus.
Well, actually, I was hearing about Venus. How did that go? Oh, I bought Eat Stop Eat before I got pregnant with my baby that I just had this February. And then as Venus was being developed, I was getting notes about that, and I put it in a folder in my computer because I thought pregnancy is not the time for me to read that, but I know this is, you know, a gold mine here. So I filed away until I was ready. And when I understood that it wasn't going to take relentless cardio, and that weight training, you know, my forte was the meat and potatoes, and that the real the real nutritional bonus was that instead of making time to do all this extra stuff that I really don't have time to with two kids now, was I'm getting results by not doing something. Wow, I have time for that. I cannot do something several times a week, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Now. I'm doing it right now. And
yeah, did you actually find that hard to wrap your head around? Like some
I
people
loved it.
Oh, okay.
I was like, are you kidding me? I don't have to, oh, I don't have to figure out what to, whoa. I'm hungry and I don't have to go run answer that call. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't like the feeling of being hungry. Besides the fact that I really like good food, I also don't like the sensation of being hungry. But I had always treated it like, you know, some impulses we have to be attended to or we're going to be in trouble. But this wasn't like my body's telling me I have to pee and I have to take care of it, because it goes away. And now I can treat that feeling like a feeling of progress. Like, I'm busy during the day and I'm enjoying my kids and we're out somewhere and I feel hungry. I can then, what that tells me now is I'm working on something. Like, these are results. If it's a fast day, oh, look, I'm getting two things done at once. It's rocks.
So it's almost like that little bit of hungriness is a signal that, yeah, you're burning fat and you're progressing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, a few people have said that they've learned to recategorize that feeling as progress versus, like you said, a signal that, like, oh, no, I'm starving. I need to eat right now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Now, was that easy for you to recategorize that? Or did,
no.
Like, no? No.
No.
So was it just, like, the appreciation of, like, that you can get stuff done and it doesn't consume effort and time?
Yeah. The first few, I think it was the first three fasts for me were very difficult. I wasn't completely, it was hard to wrap my head around the fact that I'm not doing damage when I'm hungry because, oh no, you know, I'm now feeding on my muscles. I'm in starvation mode. Quick, refeed. So that sort of thing that I'd been thinking all these years, I think contributed to the fact that hunger is bad, you know, and
right.
It took me a while to realize that, you know, I don't love the feeling, but it doesn't, now it's a positive thing for me.
Right. Well, yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Well, I think you just hit on the biggest paradigm shift that people have to get over is that feeling isn't dangerous. It's okay.
Right.
It's unavoidable. If you're in a deficit, by definition, you're going to be feeling that way, at least at some point of the day. And the best you can do, like you have, is recategorize it as progress. Like, recognize that means, you know, if you felt those a little pinch of hunger during the day, you're like, mm-hmm. I probably lost some body fat today.
Yeah. The thing that's still difficult, and I think Brad said it's important, or he said something like this. Sorry if I get it not completely right, but he said that bad fast days are important, are a good thing, because then you learn your triggers and you learn, like, why is it difficult? So I don't ever have a day that's difficult because I'm hungry, but I have fast days that are difficult because I need some comfort. So, you know, if I have, I have a 2.5-year-old and I have a 6-month-old, and some days just feel like, you know, parental fail days. And I notice that is when my fast day becomes difficult, because if I'm feeling like a fail, or, you know, I need some relief or some comfort, you know, my go-to thing isn't available. And that's
right.
The difficult day for me.
Okay. Very. Have you discovered something else to take its place?
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to share?
Well, actually, if it's child related, we just sit down and have some hugs. We change the topic. But my girls like to be outside. So first thing I do is wherever we are, if it's possible, we just go outside and start exploring.
Okay.
And that just diffuses everything. If it's, you know, some other stressor that I have, I will go out and plan a workout. And even if I only get, like if it's a non-Venus day, even if I only get to look through the routines, or if I get through the first circuit or something, a few minutes of refocus toward my exercise, toward my goals, is kind of a reset for me.
So, and so even just a little bit of that's enough to get your mind off of using food for comfort.
Yeah, it really is.
That's interesting. I'm sure a few other people will have an aha when they hear that one.
A therapist doesn't hurt.
Yeah, well, yeah, everybody can.
I don't mean to discount my therapist, so.
Oh, no, I mean, everybody, Yeah. I actually don't know how people get by without them.
I think they have one somewhere. They're just not called a therapist.
Oh, yeah. Right. Even just a close friend who acts in that role. Okay. So, well, I guess we might as well. What prompted you to actually enter the contest then?
Things were just out of control. When I had, I had my baby in February, and I thought, okay, we got to get rocking. And it wasn't an out of control pregnancy, but there's something about feeling so fabulous and beautiful when you're pregnant, and things are well, and you know, why not have an extra scoop of ice cream? Things are fabulous. I'm eating for two. And then right after that is such a drop, like, oh, here's this beautiful baby, and I've got all the leftovers. So I knew that was going to be coming. I just didn't realize how severe it had gotten. You know, I've heard some of my friends that struggle with weight talking about even when they met their goals, they still had a kind of a fat girl mentality. And looking at these photos, I'm realizing I kind of the opposite. I have, I'm going along in my own little world, realizing that I have to, I got to take off a few pounds. I got to get back into shape, but there's nothing more humbling than a look at your own photos to actually bring things into perspective, you know? So it was shocking.
Looking at that before is like the worst feeling in the world.
Well, yeah. And so my husband actually protected me from them for a while.
Oh, really?
He did.
He just took them and like hid them somewhere?
He took the photos and he put them in a file and realized that I wouldn't know where to find them. And I said, you know, I think I want to take a look at that. And he goes, you know, let's wait a while. And I said, well, you know, I want to make sure that you've got the requirements, our front side, you know, I want to make sure that you got. And he said, well, I'll just go ahead and send these for you.
Yeah.
And later we did a 6-week comparison. And he's like, I think you should take a look at this. And oh my goodness.
Wow. So you went 6 weeks without even knowing what your before looked like?
I actually saw a thumbnail size of one of them on his computer, but I couldn't get the file to open.
Right.
So it's not as frightening in thumbnail form, but it's enough to go, oh my goodness.
Right.
You know, so my distorted body image was kind of the reverse. I knew I didn't feel well in clothes. I knew it felt like kind of like I was wearing someone else's body or a fat suit or something that just wasn't, it didn't feel natural. But I did not know it was that bad. And so, to even post those and to send them, I think it was one of the girls on the community. I think it was Laura who was one of the winners in the last round that said, just remember what, an inspiration and encouragement it would be for somebody to see that. Because it was incentive enough for me to shut the whole thing down as far as sending in photos.
Oh, like when you saw them.
Oh, my goodness. You kidding? Yeah. So, I was thinking I can enjoy my results from here, but I'm also a pretty competitive girl. And I actually participating in the community, I read more than I typed. As I said, my hands were usually full when I was able to have internet access. So I didn't type a lot, but I got to know, I read a lot what the ladies said and got a lot of inspiration from them. And so the idea that looking at what's possible could be inspiring to somebody else, I thought, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and do it.
Yeah, a lot of people I don't think pay attention to that part at the beginning. It's kind of hard, right? Like you said, the last thing on your mind is being like an inspiration to somebody else when you can't bear to look at your own picture. You're like, well, look at me go. How many people are going to appreciate this? Like you're just, like you said, you're trying to find ways to not send the picture. And so the last thing you're thinking is how inspiring it's going to be.
Exactly. And, you know, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, you know, of all the people that could get a link to this, do I really want all of those photos, all of those people to see this?
Right.
But anyway, I'm not concerned about that. Once I got going and decided I was going to do it, I had every intention of winning this thing.
Well, I mean, and you did.
But then I, as I got read more and more in the community, and those women are amazing. The support and the honesty, I thought, it doesn't matter if I win. Somebody here, I'll be thrilled for whoever wins. And I'm a pretty competitive person, but everybody was so, it was such a cool, safe place. And everybody made such amazing progress. I was prepared to be thrilled for whoever won, and there were some amazing transformations.
And that's interesting you say that. I feel like that keeps happening in there, is that
Yeah. Sort
of everyone, it's like a team win sort of thing.
It really is.
Okay, so then, so I guess, I don't know if we really touched on this already, but your biggest challenge through this particular contest, like everyone's got, I don't know if you've listened to all the past podcasts, but everyone has like their own specific way it went. Like some people had a really good first 6 weeks and then the last 6 weeks sucked, and some people had like a couple of good weeks and a couple bad ones. Like, how did it go for you?
I started off really well. I have been struggling with some sort of inflammatory issue for a few years, and I've gone to naturopaths to try to find if it's diet related. I've done elimination diets. We've pinned down a couple of sensitivities, but you know, this stuff was kind of ongoing rashy stuff. And as soon as I started the program, within 2 weeks, that was all gone. And I started to think that, and you know, this is totally created in my brain. I was thinking it's almost as if I had an energy toxicity, that maybe I'm not sensitive to one food. I'm just sensitive to too much of everything.
Well, there's the concept of calorie toxicity, like that you can just have too much in you. I don't know if it manifests as an inflammatory disorder, but I know it can lead to like having too much food in you, and then in the process of, if you're eating too many calories, you're in the process of laying down fat. That itself is an inflammatory situation. So I'm just speculating, but you may just be hypersensitive to when you have more calories in you.
Well, I can eat wheat now, which I was avoiding like the plague. I eat everything in moderation now, and nothing bothers me. So I was so stoked after those first couple of weeks. And my weight loss before, even when I did the kettlebell contest, is if I see a pound go down in a week, I am so thrilled. Like something is moving. And when I saw 2 pounds and 3 pounds in a week, I was so stoked. By the time we actually threw in a week at the beach there with family, so I didn't keep with the fast days, but I brought all of my weights and my step, and I did my workouts at the beach. And I found that once I hit the 6 week mark, and I saw those photos, and I was feeling great. I hadn't itched for weeks, and I'm still seeing numbers peeling off the scale. Instead of saying, "Oh, I have 6 more weeks to go," I was thinking, "Oh no, I only have 6 weeks." And then when it got down, I was like, "There's only 2 weeks left. Keep going." So I didn't get tired of it.
Effort. So when you recognized that the effort put in actually just equaled results, you just never felt like stopping, right?
Yeah, I just could. I was really. I kept thinking that it was just going to stop. You know, like it's only going to work for so much. And then when I passed my pre-pregnancy weight, I thought, okay, we're going to slow down. And it just keeps going. There was a point of disappointment, I have to say, on I think it was week 8. I had to increase my caloric intake because my breast milk supply was dropping.
Oh, interesting. Okay, and that's something you had to pay attention to.
Yeah. So I did increase it a little bit, and it took some supplementation, and then I took 2 days off, I think, and ate regularly and got things back to normal. But I couldn't go as low as I felt like I could, and that was a little frustrating. But I also think it's very important to keep on the breastfeeding for the baby. So it was a little internal struggle with my competitiveness and my excitement for the weight loss, and to realize that, you know, I can keep going. It's not, you know, I can slow it down. But even with the increased calories, I was seeing consistently 1 pound, a pound and a half toward the end, even a couple of 2 pound weeks there at the end. And I've never really watched the scale so carefully because it's always been a disappointment.
Right.
And that's why I watched it so much this time, was because I just couldn't believe it. You know, my clothes are fitting different. There's all these other things, but it was such a treat at the, right before you break a fast, to hop on the scale, you know, your little victory morning.
Yeah, and you're a couple pounds lighter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really works.
I just couldn't believe it. After all this time trying and doing things that took so much time and so much effort, and so much frustration, like, I know I'm going to step on this thing and it's going to be 2 pounds over what I was, or
Or just no movement.
Yeah, just disappointment is what I was used to. So it was great to see I could get so much done, and I'm still making progress. And, you know, if I do one fast day instead of two, then it just slows down a little bit. It doesn't stop, and it doesn't go backwards.
Mm-hmm. So, and then on the non-fast days, would you do as far as eating on the non-fast days?
I tried to stay below 1,000 calories.
Mm.
And I did really well until, like I said, about week 8, I had to increase the calories. And then I slacked off on writing everything down. And I did that for a couple of weeks. And then I thought, well, I should go back and see that I'm actually estimating these correctly. And I was underestimating, which I'm sure is really common. So I had to go back to being more careful on writing things down. And if that wasn't convenient, I just started taking photos of my serving with my phone. And I could go back and take a look. And I often didn't go back and add them all up, but just the process of photographing what I was about to eat, and that was the serving, made me more conscientious about, you know, not taking the last couple bites off my daughter's plate, or finishing up something just because there was only a little bit left. Those little mindless habits that you're not actually enjoying the food, you're just cleaning up.
Yeah, exactly. People seem to treat their bodies like little mini trash compactors when they're around a table, and they just clean up whatever's there and throw it in themselves instead of the garbage.
And that's the funniest thing. I was talking with my girlfriend last night about, well, you don't want it to go to waste. And you're like,
Yes, you do.
Yes.
It's exactly what you want to do with it.
But it's a little counterintuitive to, especially, I mean, mom and nurse, nothing. You use everything.
Right, yeah. It's such an odd situation to be in, where you don't want it to go to waste, so you'd rather just store it around your...
Yes, your waste.
Your waste instead of in the waste.
Right.
Yeah. Or if you can, I guess theoretically the way to do it is you save it for later. Like, put it away in the fridge. But then that sort... I don't know that that works either, because to me, leftovers just become an extra snack on top of your normal meals. You know what I mean? Like, you either overeat it now or overeat it later. But most people don't treat a leftover as replacing another kind of scheduled meal,
right,
but it's just
point.
Another extra.
Well, in our fridge, it just becomes a science experiment. So at least it doesn't go in my mouth, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, people have to get over that. That's a whole other topic, the idea of having just too much food lying around.
Yeah.
We're just going to eat it if it's there. It's just there's another way to say it.
That's so true.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't have kids, but I know Brad and his wife, one of the toughest things is when their kids are eating, that it's just so easy to pick the food off their plate and just keep eating it.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever's left around. So
it was also hard to...
I feel for you parent types. It must be hard, because a lot of their food is fun stuff, too.
It is, and I don't, you know, I don't feed my daughter anything that I don't, that I wouldn't eat.
Right.
So when I'm preparing something for her and I'm fasting, that was a real challenge to begin with, because we will prepare something here and take it for a snack, or we'll bring her snacks of something that I like that is good and healthy food. And it was the smells, you know, oh, I'm so hungry. But then I've actually learned that I can enjoy the smell of food. I can still enjoy it, even if I'm not eating it. It only becomes difficult if it is one of my few really favorite foods and I'm watching somebody eat it.
Well, you can't do it, eh?
I can prepare it and then go have my husband sit and eat with the daughter, and then I'll just, you know, start my workout early or something. I have a harder time watching someone eat it
sure.
than actually smelling it.
So it sounds like your husband was pretty supportive. Can you talk about
absolutely
where your sources of support were, and did you have any detractors along the way, or was it pretty supportive all around?
I think that my close friends are all kind of used to me jumping on, trying something, or always being involved in the effort in one manner or another. And I've probably given, you know, completely incorrect advice based on whatever I was reading or believing at the time. So everybody, and my mom always says the same thing. Just want to see you healthy, you know, and mm-hmm. just you're looking good. Are you feeling good? Yes, I'm feeling good. Because the one thing I have never tried is anything is less food. And I've tried all pretty much everything else. And then when I told, I only shared the details with people that seemed honestly interested on, like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And I got very little critical feedback. I don't invite a lot of, what do you think about what I'm doing sort of thing. I do have one fitness, one friend who is very much into fitness, and I thought she was going to give me some hell about it, but she didn't. So now that it's over, I think I'll actually ask what her thoughts are about it.
Yeah, that might be the easiest way to do it.
I did have one of my coworkers who is extremely overweight make some comments about me breaking my metabolism, and I was wearing a tank top at the time, and you know, I just asked her, does it look like I'm muscle wasting? Does it look like I'm emaciated? Cause, I feel great.
Yeah,
and you know, just those little comments, not much.
Right. Yeah. So, but in general, it was pretty positive then. You didn't have a whole lot of,
pushback. Detractors. I have, I spend, a few hours a week with different moms groups as I take my kids to activities. And there was a little bit of, you know, grumbling. The comment that really irritated me was, it's because you're breastfeeding. And I was thinking, you know.
But you lost all that weight because someone was trying.
Really? Isn't breastfeeding just the best? Wait till you hit 30, she said, or 35, she said. It's like, well, I'm, you know, 37. And I tell you what, I exclusively breastfed for the first 12 weeks, and I lost like a handful of pounds. It is no magic bullet. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's helpful. You know, there's some calorie loss there, but it will not build muscle, and it will not shed the pounds that I was able to lose. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just those, it's a struggle for everybody. Everybody has this as somewhat of a mind game in some form or another, whether you're a size 4 or 14 or whatever. And so I got a little bit of the grumbling, but I just don't I don't care to discuss it with them. So
did you on purpose keep it divided from people you knew that probably wouldn't react mm-hmm. positively?
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, people would say, what are you doing? And I would say, well, diet and exercise.
Oh, yeah, just leave it at that.
I've changed two things in my life. Diet and exercise, it really works.
It really works. Okay, so based on your experience, what's your take home advice message for other women who are clearly want to do something with their bodies but don't know what step to take?
Well, I think a lot of people are in the same boat as I am as far as being almost disgusted with the fact, why try something else when I've tried everything? And what I think we have here, I think you guys have just laid out the rules for us, and it doesn't matter. You know, I'm not I no longer believe the, oh, I'm a bigger girl, or I have huge bones. I don't. I'm not destined to be a heavy girl. Oh, it runs in my family or any like this. I think that we now have the rules. And if somebody is interested in making a huge change, you can look at all the different body types that won, you know, all the different types of women that are on the winners page there. If somebody's interested in doing it, they just have to follow the rules. And with the added support of the community, that is, again, not necessarily easy, but it's very simple. And I think you work it in. I work it around nap time. Sometimes I don't get my workout all the way through. Sometimes I have to split it up, sometimes into three pieces, you know, just to get it done. But you just keep going. I think that there's, you know, like I said, there's a mind game for most women around this issue, regardless of where you're at. So if I'm just going to change my mind game to be in the mindset of forward days and watching my calories and keeping ever vigilant instead of using it to kind of, you know, cut myself down or be disappointed in myself or lack confidence, because it's an issue. Regardless of where you're at in the spectrum.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're an inch away from VI or 10 inches away.
Yep.
It seems like everyone's just on that, almost like an eggshell of confidence in their body, and it can crack if they're not always, you know, on top of it.
Well, what I've come to realize is I know the results of me doing it on my own. I know. I know what happens. Mm. So if I just follow the rules, just like if I had developed diabetes, I'm going to take my insulin. Mm-hmm. Well, now I know what I have to do to maintain get my body in shape. So I'm just going to follow those rules. That's now what I do. So I'm not done. I'm not ready for maintenance. I look forward to maintenance. And I also look forward to the next competition. But this is now just what I do.
Mm-hmm. So it's a paradigm shift, a lifestyle change.
Absolutely. Somebody just handed me the rules. I've read them over, and I am ecstatic about it. This is now just what I do. It's like I've been given my prescription. Mm-hmm. Now I'm just going to follow it.
Okay, then. That's about as clearly stated as we could say it. Do you have any parting thoughts that didn't come up, like something you wanted to say, or was this you good here?
I just want to say something about the community again. Is just, I'm sure there's a lot of lurkers out there on the boards, and I felt like I kind of was as I didn't type a lot. But I think that if anybody is hesitating to jump in, this added bonus of this tremendously supportive community of all types of women who've tried all types of things. Just, you know, dip your toe in, dive right in, and reap the benefits of such great support. I have a gal that offered, I was saying that I wanted some more immediate support, like a text message or something that I could, somebody I could lean on, and somebody stepped up and volunteered. And so when I was having a moment, I've actually texted her, and I get sort of a motivation boost back. And that's really cool. And she ended up taking second place. I'm really proud of Kimberly. But it was also very helpful. So there's these little tricks like that. You get the extra support from somebody who knows Venus and knows that sometimes you're in stealth mode. And hearing from another Venus is pretty helpful. So I love the community. I think it's amazing.
Okay, so, I mean, and I didn't even know that sort of stuff went on. I had no idea you guys would admit. That happens a lot with the girls. You guys have got all kinds of secret stuff going on that we don't know about.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's just the way things go. Okay, well, I mean, that was great. Thanks for sharing everything with us. And I'll be looking forward to talking to you more in the forums. Hopefully you'll find some time to get your hands free on the keyboard.
Yep, I'm doing better. And I want to say one more time, I'm so appreciative of this program. And thanks for the opportunity.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for following through and taking first place. That was great.
Thanks.
All right, so for Felicity McDevitt, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Venus Index Podcast.